Thank you for calling. This lesson is designed to deal with problems faced by many people. How can we know God exists? And how do we answer questions raised by skeptics and atheists about the Bible? We hope you will listen to this message with an open mind, and if you have questions or would like to hear more, we hope you will write us. An address will be given at the end of the lesson. The Arctic Tern, an example of God's design. In the 19th Psalm, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." We are being told in this passage that man can look at the world around him and he can see the evidence of God's thoughtful, intelligent design. It's important to realize that each one of us is faced with a choice concerning what we accept as far as the origin of the creation is concerned. We either must accept the idea that everything occurred by mechanical chance and that all of it occurred with no intelligence and no design and no planning, or we are forced to conclude that intelligent planning, intelligent design, someone or something that is capable of carefully engineering all that we see is responsible for the creation as we see it. In Romans, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse, we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness." We are told that these men rejected God as the source of all things. Then the Bible says, "That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We're told in this passage that we can know that there is a God through the things he has made. It's important to realize that this claim that the Bible makes is one that can be tested scientifically. We can examine the things around us and we can see that indeed there has been intelligent planning. As one example of intelligent design, we might take a look at a bird which is known as the Arctic tern. Alaska and northern Canada to the southern edge of South America. After spending the winter at that latitude, this relatively small bird then flies 12,000 miles back, where the eggs are laid and the summer is spent on the north slope. The interesting question that has to challenge any thinking individual is, how do these birds make this journey? How do they fly 24,000 miles every year without making a mistake in their navigation? There are perhaps at least three different possibilities as to how the birds learn to make this journey. The first possibility is that perhaps they learn to make this journey. There are many animals that learn behavior that seems to be quite remarkable to man. Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep migrate from summer grazing grounds to their wintering grounds and apparently learn this from their parents, because when a young animal is raised apart from his parents, he's not able to make the journey when returned to his birthplace. Is it possible that the terns learn how to make this incredible flight from their parents? This was actually tested by some scientists some years ago who went up into the Northern Banks area and came back with 5 tern eggs, which were raised in the state of Wisconsin. Here were 5 baby birds that never had an opportunity to learn the migratory pattern from their parents. They kept these birds in an area in the United States and raised them to adulthood, and waited until the middle of November when all of the adults had left the place where the eggs had been found. Then, in a blinding snowstorm, these scientists released one of the baby birds with a radio transmitter on his back from an airplane, right over the island where he had been found as an egg. They tracked this bird to see if he would know how to make the journey to the wintering grounds. The bird made a small, tight circle over the island where they dropped him, and then quickly took off along the same path that his parents had flown, and 18 days later landed a few feet from his mother on an island on the edge of South America. Clearly, he had not learned this migration because he had no opportunity to learn it. One of his brothers was released in Australia, where no terns of this particular species are natively found, and in 7 days he made the same journey. Clearly, these birds did not learn this behavior because they had no opportunity to learn it. A second possibility is that perhaps this bird acquires this ability by mechanistic evolution, by chance, by natural selection. It isn't difficult to realize that these birds might be wanting to leave the north slope of Alaska as winter draws on to avoid the terrible climate of that area. But one would have to ask, why must the birds fly 6,000 miles beyond the equator in order to find their wintering area? Why don't they stop in Miami like everybody else does? Why is it necessary to add an incredibly long journey beyond what would be necessary to survive? It certainly is not the food they eat, because these birds can eat virtually anything that a seagull can eat. They aren't restricted diet-wise, and certainly it may become obvious that the longer the journey, the greater the chances of mortality, of something happening to the birds. It would seem that evolution fails rather miserably in attempting to explain this very ambitious migration pattern. The third possibility that is available to us is that perhaps this instinctive behavior in these birds is designed by a planning, thinking, intelligent God. And as we examine further that evidence, we find that there is, indeed, substantial support for it. There are some 20 different species of animals on the north slope of Alaska that depend upon the Arctic tern for their survival, because the tern is an important part of their food chain. There are some 19 different plants and animals at the South Pole area that are also dependent upon this bird for their survival. By traveling 24,000 miles every year, this bird provides for isolated populations of plants and animals. It may not be an advantage to the bird, but it is clearly an advantage to these plants and animals that depend upon the bird for their survival. This shows design. It shows planning. There is design. There is planning. And so there must be a God.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.